This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, please. You can use your smartphone if you like to, and there's a link to notes. In fact, if you are a Facebook follower of ours, that link went out this morning. I think I forwarded that, so it's on my page. It's also on our church Facebook page. Be sure to get on the bridge if you're not there yet. You can just tell us if you aren't. If you're not receiving email messages from us, we'd love to get you connected to what's going on in the life of our church. This is probably going to be the most unusual anniversary message you've ever heard. Today's our birthday. Happy birthday to us, right? Big number 3. I guess that means we're out of the terrible 2s, right? That's good. So now we're toddler 3s, and I'm just so thrilled with what God has done, what he's doing, and where we're going. You know, 3-year-olds don't have it all figured out yet. We don't either. But, man, we're heading in the right direction. That's right. Amen. Whoever said that, amen. And so we're going in the right direction. And, boy, this weekend was so confirming to me, so many confirmations that we are right on target where God wants us to be. In Ephesians 6, we're going to wrap up our study this summer. We've been calling it Growing Strong. And I tell you what, today is just like, man, I am so ready to launch into year 4. I'm ready for it. And so perfect way that God brings this together and to walk into the next season we have as a congregation. God has a work he wants to do in us and through us. And just as a side note, you know, in Hebrew, every number, every word has a numerical association. The numbers have meanings. That's how rich the Hebrew language is. I lived in Israel for a while. The language is limited in vocabulary, but what vocabulary there is so rich. And the number 3 has some significant symbolism. It connotates something that's solid and real and substantial. It speaks of a completeness. You know, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Jesus in the tomb for how many days? 3. Jonah in the belly of the whale for how many days? 3. There you go. See, there's a completeness. There's like a something happens. Something comes to conclusion. And I like this that I read. It says, a signpost for the reader of Scripture when you come to the number 3 to pay attention to the significance of the next event. That kind of got me excited. Pay attention to the significance. There's been a completion, and now something significant is on the horizon, and we need to pay attention and be ready. I'm ready. How about you? Say, I'm going to pay attention today. I don't believe you, but I'll take you for your word. I think something significant is about to happen, and Restoration is positioned perfectly for what God wants to do in this next season. I'm going to read to you a verse of Scripture. Joel, I'm going to use the Scripture first, okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Speaking of the number 3, listen to this. Though one may be overpowered, 2 can defend themselves, but a cord of 3 strands is not quickly broken. A cord of 3 strands. Something about that number 3 and the strength that it brings. And boy, what happened with us in Montana this weekend was such... I mean, you couldn't have been a better demonstration of that. And you know, I'm not going to have time to unpack everything. You're going to probably have more questions than you have answers today. But guess what? We got the rest of our lives till Jesus comes to unpack the richness of his treasure. Let's just pray and ask God to reveal his word to us today. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, that today you want to send your word and heal us. You want to heal our understandings. You want to open us, Father, to the rich treasure of your word that you've deposited not only in the written word, but the living word of God that lives in every man or woman, boy or girl, who claims Jesus as Lord. Holy Spirit in us, awaken revelation and understanding today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. One way. You can look at that scripture. And honestly, I've never really quite understood what that meant. You know, I get it that 2 or 3 are better than 2. I get that. But what exactly is this referring to? I just wanted to give you what one take on this could be. And this was so demonstrated in Montana this past weekend that the 3-stranded cord, you know, sitting under the teaching of a rabbi last weekend, right? A messianic Jewish rabbi. I love to be able to go deep and find layers in the meanings of the word of God. You know that, right? Just as that number 3, say 3. Okay. But then you say something significant, substantial, a completion. looking forward to the significance of the next event. Did you ever think of that with the number three? It's just like with the scriptures. Man, there's so many layers. It's like when I lived in Israel, I would go by a hill and say, oh yeah, that's five different cities layered on top of each other. And the first city was this one. And the second, I'm like, are you kidding me? It's just a hill, you know? So just like that archaeological depth, there's also depth to the Word of God. This three-stranded cord has an amazing prophetic meaning. And this is the way it was unpacked for me this weekend. Three-stranded cord represents three different people. First of all, firstborn Jews. I mean, we know Jews are the covenant people that God chose to work through, right? You agree with that? Get that from the Bible? Okay, good. Let's just go with me here for a second. Because of where we live in America, for us, the second strand of that cord, very significantly tied to First Nations people. How many of you know we weren't the first ones here, right? There was a nation here before we were a nation. There were nations, in fact, several nations. I was on the Blackfeet Nation this past weekend. So first strand, firstborn Jews. Second strand, First Nations people. Third strand is us, first fruit Gentiles. We're the Gentiles that believed the Word of God and received our Jewish Messiah. You know that Jesus was Jewish? You figure that one out, right? I'll never forget one time I told a man, and I love him. He's a sweet man, you know, in his 70s, loves Jesus, served Jesus all his life, has godly kids, you know. But one time I said, we were talking about people that receive Jesus and they're Jewish. He said, well, they're no longer Jewish, then they're Christian. I said, no, they're still Jewish. They're very much Jewish. In fact, they're the most Jewish of anybody because they received their Messiah. And he got so offended that I said that they weren't Christians, they were Jewish. So understand what I'm saying. Jews need Jesus, right? But there's something about the covenant people. God is a covenant keeper. He's not a covenant breaker. Say amen to that. Amen. His promises are true. And to his first chosen people, he still remains true. To us who are grafted in, we're going to talk about that in a moment, we also then have been folded in. Say, thank God we're folded in, right? We're a part of the covenant. These three elements came together in Montana this past weekend, and wow, something that you know, I'm not sure I've ever seen or witnessed anything more prophetic. In fact, Rabbi Kurt Landry, who was leading that weekend event, said this. And listen, he's gone all over the world and done prophetic acts. He is solidly connected to the Israeli government and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He's done prophetic proclamations worldwide. And he said this, in 20 years of ministry, I have never seen anything more significant than what happened this weekend in Montana. That's a pretty big statement. So I want to show you some pictures and what that's about. If you were here early enough to catch the countdown video, you heard Apostle Jay Swallow talk about this place. Did you hear that? Boy, I hope those words were resonating in your heart because that is powerful. Apostle Jay prayed for what we saw last weekend in Montana, but didn't come to pass until after his death. Apostle Jay passed away last year. You know what? Those words, those prayers of his, those visions that God gave him as a First Nations leader, as a First Nations apostle, 230 tribes looked to him as a spiritual leader. And he sat in this house and spoke the words that you heard. Fabulous. What you're seeing here are images of an immersion service that we did in St. Mary's Lake in Montana. I've got to tell you that this was a glacial lake. The water was in its 40s. I will never again entertain whining about our cold baptistry ever, never, ever, never again. Bunch of big babies. Let me tell you, Joel, I want you to hold on that slide for a second, okay? I'm going to tell you that my personal history is very much connected to the purposes of this church. As the leader, as the church planter, that's just how it works. The things that are woven into my DNA are automatically going to be transferred to this congregation. It just happens that way. And I just need you to know my history with First Nations people. And I'm not going to take a lot of time, but just to tell you, I think, why was I there? My great-great-grandmother was full-blooded Osage. When she went to the fort in Topeka, Kansas to get registered, because that's what we made First Nations people do, if they wanted any kind of assistance or help at all, because we forced them into places where they were in need. We created a dependency. And the only way that she could sign up and be on the roll was to go to the fort in Topeka and to get her name on that roll. But the man in charge, before he would let her put her name on the roll, he said, you're going to have to do some favors for me. Right? I don't want to steal anyone's innocence in the room. I'm just saying it was an ungodly thing he asked. And she said, I'm not doing that. So she walked away. So my family doesn't have any recorded lineage, only verbal history. There was something about the injustice done to her that I think is the reason why I'm so connected, you know, to First Nations people. I think Francine was the first Native American I ever met or knew that I'm aware of. And through Francine, we met Apostle Jay. Through Apostle Jay, he was friends with Rabbi Kurt. Rabbi Kurt found out about what's happening in St. Joe. Through Apostle Jay, we got connected to Roy and Honey Wolftail. This is the first time for Tim and Francine to get to go to Browning, Montana and see firsthand the Blackfeet Reservation. Certainly my first experience as well. And I've got to tell you, St. Joseph is a gateway city. We were the portal for West Road expansion. The largest migration in human history passed right down this street and through those gates. And you've heard me say that before. And I just would say that my experience in Montana has given me another perspective, not instead of, but in addition to. Are you hearing me? I'm not changing my perspective, I'm enlarging it. To say this, that, you know, Western expansion created the nation we have today. What should have taken 200 years took about 20 because of this massive move west. And what ended up expanding our nation also ended up not being a blessing to the indigenous people. Are you hearing me? You know, that Adolf Hitler took his pattern for the Nazi concentration camps from what we did to the Native American people. I'm just telling you, there were some things that happened that were not godly. We can't go back and change that. But bless God, we can do something about it today. Come on, church, hear my heart. I'm not saying we're bad. I'm saying, Father, forgive us for how we've misstepped. Help us to turn that curse into a blessing. And that's what happened this weekend. I'm not going to be able to get through this. Because you had First Nations people, firstborn Jews, and firstfruit Gentiles in the water together for the first time. I'll just say this. The Native people, Rabbi expected about 10, right? It's 40-degree water. There was 150 people from 14 different tribes. Some drove 9, 11 hours to get there. They came from Canada. They came from who knows how many states. And we stood in the water for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours. Some people were baptized for the first time. Some people were baptized again. Some people were baptized and immersed. That's a whole different story. What happened in the water were those Native people releasing forgiveness for what happened to them and receiving the inheritance of their destiny in God. Oh, my goodness. The Lord spoke to Pastor Roy Wolftail. You've heard Pastor Roy. He's been here on our platform. He said, I feel the Lord is telling me that today the waters have been healed. You know, that water that we're standing in passes from that lake. It's the headwaters of the Missouri River. It goes north into Canada and south into the U.S., where it eventually flows into the what? Mississippi? Into the Gulf, and then throughout the world. You know what? Those healed waters are on their way to St. Joseph, Missouri right now. Literally. They are literally on their way, and they will pass within yards of our front door. Probably about September 29th, when we're hosting a First Nations conference right here in this building. I'm just telling you, folks, we're on to something here that only God could have orchestrated. It was ridiculously amazing. And as I drove through the beautiful mountains there in northern Montana, gorgeous country, Glacier National Park, as soon as I got on the other side, I entered no man's land, which is now the Blackfeet Reservation. There's a big sign, Welcome to the Blackfeet Reservation. And it became real to me what had happened to First Nations people. And I understood better why this is so important to the heart of God and so critical to the destiny of those people. The poverty I saw there, like none I've ever seen in the U.S., a whole community of houses like the one I grew up in. You've heard me describe that. But rather than just one house, this was a whole community of those houses. And of course, they don't have access to the things I had access to. But it's not going to stay that way because God has a plan. And there's something that's going to happen in Browning, Montana, and we are a part of it. I brought a rock home, you know.
So when I pray now for Browning, I've got a piece of the land in my hand. And we have Pastor Roy and Honey coming to preach to us on October the 2nd at the end of this Native American conference. I'll tell you about it in just a moment. What I want to know is, what can we do today to be a blessing to the First Nations people? And so First Nations is one part of my story. Jewish people are another part. I don't know how many of you know this, but I lived in Israel for a short time through exposure to men like Derek Prince, who mentored me and gave me a love for the Jewish people, my understanding that we are grafted in, according to Romans 11, to this olive tree. We're the wild shoot that we're grafted in. I'm so grateful, aren't you? We were grafted into God's covenant people, and here we stand today, accepted in Him, one new man, making one out of, two that were at odds with each other, and now we're one in Yeshua, in Jesus. And boy, living in the land of Israel and mixing it up with the Jewish people and listening to their Shabbat prayers on Friday nights, man, my heart was just permanently welded there. So when I met Rabbi Kurt for the first time last year, when I went down for Yom Kippur for the immersion service, remember that? When I went down to Oklahoma last year, it was significant, but it was just an introduction. And I think this weekend I saw even more reason why God's put us in contact with the rabbi. Romans 11 also says all Israel will be saved. Folks, I just want to tell you, we need to love, protect, and defend the nation of Israel. We do. And if you don't believe that, you have a right to be wrong, right? you can go with the political stuff that you hear and read about, or you can go with what God says. God says these are His people. You're like, well, they don't all know Jesus. No, they don't. But the Word also says in Romans 11, all Israel will be saved. Says that. I don't know how it's going to happen. All I know is they need Jesus, right? They need their Jewish Messiah, and He will come to them. And we are living in amazing days that we're seeing things happen. And this immersion service in Montana was a part of it. More photos, Joel. That was the lake we were in. There's the lineup of people that kept coming. There's Rabbi Kurt and me standing behind him on the left, you know, baptizing and immersing these First Native people. Some people couldn't even walk out of the water under their own strength. The Spirit of the Lord was so heavy on the water. This is kind of weird. There was an American bald eagle circling us during the immersion. It's just like, okay, Lord, we get it. We understand, all right? We know that You're here. Okay. Next slide, Joel. What was awesome was, you know, my heart for, and let's hang on, let's stick on this one for a while. My heart for next generation. I had a chance on Thursday night to speak primarily to the young people. The whole church was there, but my focus was on young people. Back up one slide, Joel. I want to show you one slide. This is Nathan that I'm baptizing right there. And Nathan is probably, I would guess, about 16 years old. What was awesome was, as I prayed a father's blessing, could listen to this white father coming in and praying a father's blessing over a First Nations youth. It was just a humbling experience. And then on immersion Saturday, that was Thursday night, Saturday, we do this baptism service, this immersion service, and I can call these young men and women by name. Say, Nathan, get down here. Let's move forward in your destiny in God. Do you know how awesome that was for me? What a privilege to call them by name. It's like the Father knows their name. I was able to call them by name. I just, you know, it didn't get no better than that. So, so good. Then the last thing that happened, next slide, Joel. There we are. There's Rabbi Kurt in the middle, his wife Christy, Pastor Danny from Ohio, a couple of his men, Honey and Roy Wolftail. I'm at the very, very end down there. You can't hardly recognize me because I have no glasses on and I'm wet as a rat. But we just stood there. We just stood there in the water and let the Lord just do something. And I'll tell you what. You know, let me back up and tell you what happened on Friday night. When Rabbi first came, his first night was Friday, he began to prophesy over different people and just speak destiny, prophetic destiny into their life. He called me up, stood in front of him, and he said, Tim, I just see this. He said, I see that you have never had a spiritual father. You guys know my history. You've never had a spiritual father lay hands on you and impart a blessing for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. And tonight the Lord wants to give you that. And that's what I received on Friday night. On Saturday at the immersion, when I got out of that water, and I'm serious, I really wasn't cold. I was just too into what was going on. For 2.5 hours, On the drive back to Browning, which is about a 40-minute drive, the whole way, my arms were just tingling. My arms weren't in the water, okay, just my legs. My arms hardly even got wet just when I dipped people. I was not cold, but I felt this tingling going from my shoulders to my fingers in both hands for the entire drive back to Browning. And I knew whatever was imparted on Friday night was activated on Saturday afternoon. And I came back a different guy, you know. I can't describe it. I know it might sound weird to you. I'm just telling you what happened. And I appreciate that on this third anniversary of our church, the Lord allowed us to be enfolded in this three-stranded cord. And I believe we will move forward in the strength, anointing, and authority that God has for us as a people. Would you thank the Lord for that this morning with me? Another thing the rabbi said, you know, just in passing in his talk was, he said, if you want to know what God is saying to the church in this hour, read the book of Ephesians. Okay, so let's do that. Ephesians chapter 6. That was just the introduction, all right? Ephesians chapter 6. Here we go, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Amen. And thus, the apostle wraps up his prison letter to the church of Ephesus. I just want to bring you a few key thoughts here as we finish up this morning. First of all, it is important for children to obey. Say amen. Amen. The first commandment with a promise. It is also important for parents not to frustrate and provoke and exasperate their children. Say amen. Amen. Folks, we have a partnership in raising up the next generation. Yes, they have a commandment from the Lord to obey, but we have a commandment from the Lord also. And we can't expect them to do their part if we're not doing ours. Are we exasperating, frustrating, provoking? Oftentimes that's the case, and we wonder why they act the way they do. They're just watching us. Come on now, I'm preaching. It's no accident that these thoughts find themselves in this final chapter of the book of Ephesians. And I believe God has given us a mandate. And I know that it's to the whole church, but in specifically to restoration, we have been given, I believe, an opportunity to disciple and raise up the next generation to make the church strong. It's critical that we do that. You know that this summer in the Dominican Republic, I had a chance to pray over and speak blessing into the hearts of young men that went through a rite of passage that we did in San Cristobal. And then last weekend in Montana, The very same thing. Come on, tell me there isn't a pattern here going on. I believe God's given us a responsibility and an ability to call the next generation to their destiny. Was able to speak prophetically into the lives of those young men and women in Montana, in the Dominican Republic, and right here at home in St. Joe. It's a part of our call. And it's why things around here look a little different and sound a little different than they do in other places, because it's a specific call that we have as a church. It's a specialty, if you will. It's something God wants us to give attention to. This past Monday, Zach and Wes were at Missouri Western for their Western warm-up. They got to meet students from all over the world. We gave out those Restoration drawstring bags. Krista was working in the bookstore. She saw them walking around the campus with those. Thank you to Zach and Wes for doing that, guys. Good job. That's what I'm talking about. Now listen, it's in our heart. We're not doing it perfect, but bless God, we're focusing on it. The glass isn't half empty, but we can do it better, right? The glass can be fuller, and we're going to continue to push that envelope until we see God, you know, releasing that fruit that we're asking for. The next section talks about slaves, and I just want to bring a little clarity there. The Apostle Paul, nor the Scriptures, would ever condone slavery the way that we think about it, right? We think in context of American history and the slaves and the African-American issue. That is one of the reasons why we have such a stinking issue in America today, because of the brokenness that we allowed to happen. Listen, the Bible never condones that type of slavery. What Paul's talking about here is employers and employees, right? In Paul's day, there were these things called indentured servants. They were servants, slaves, the word he uses, by choice. They were employees. So Paul's talking about how employers treat employees. So don't even think about the fact that he's blessing what we know as slavery in this America. In America, that was a tragedy. That's a sin stain on this country that we also will have to deal with, just like the Native American issue. Someone say amen. Amen. That is the absolute truth. The Apostle Paul would never condone slavery as we know it. Paul tells employees to work as unto the Lord. When I read that today, I thought, he's talking about volunteers too, right? He said, do your work heartily as unto the Lord. I appreciate each one of you who volunteer and help us do this, because you don't get paid for that. Talk about slavery. Come on now. You know, it's like crack the whip. But I love it. I so appreciate what you do, because you do that work as unto the Lord. He talks to employees. He also talks to employers, saying, be careful. It matters to me how you treat your employees. But here's the thing. All of us are slaves of Jesus, right? We are indentured servants. We are love slaves to Jesus Christ. We willingly submit to him. And guess what? He's a good boss. He's the best boss. In fact, our boss is our father. Ha ha. You know, we're spoiled brat kids. We get to serve our father in heaven. We have an in. He's a good father who always has our best interest at heart. So we have a good deal. And no matter what situation we find, we know that God has our good in mind. Amen? And Paul says, finally, be strong. Don't you love it? Thank you, Jesus, for creative sermon titles. Growing strong. Paul says, be strong. That was his parting shot to the church at Ephesus. Be strong. How can we be strong? He says, in the Lord, in the power of his Spirit. That's the only way. Listen, whatever we got here to brag about, it's nothing compared to the strength that we have in Jesus. I don't care how tough, how beautiful, how strong, how smart, how impressive you are. You'll never be more powerful than you are when you have the Spirit of God living in you and allowing him to work through you. Man, I just believe in 9 years of pastoring, this month is my 9th anniversary of pastoring. Is that right? Is it 9 or 8? It's 8. That's right. 2016 to 2008, 8 years. I'm launching my 9th year. There you go. Covered my tail right there. 8 years. I feel today more equipped, more prepared than ever before, because I've grown in that calling. And I believe our church is in the same boat. After 3 years, we're beginning to get some traction. Are there some challenges? Absolutely. You know, one of the confirmations that Rabbi brought to me personally, and didn't apply to anybody else probably but me, first of all, was he said, if you want to know what God's saying to the church, read Ephesians. Like, okay. It's good. You know, we're hearing from the Lord. The other thing that happened was we were having a leadership meeting the Monday before I left. And it was a pretty serious meeting. You know, we've got some challenges. We've got some financial challenges facing us. And, you know, we need some answers from the Lord. And I won't go into detail because I don't want to give the devil any ammunition, right, to cause you to fear. I'm just going to say we have some needs. And we were taking those knees to the Lord. And as we were praying together, I'm so proud of my team. Instead of freaking out, shaking knees, you know, and starting to quake and run at the roar of the false lion who would cause us to fear and abandon our post and abandon our call, these guys said, "We know what our job is. We know what our job is, and we're going to step up and do it." And I'm like, that's my leaders right there. Say thank God for our leaders. We got good leaders. And I felt led to read Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 is the chapter about the dry bones coming together. Guess which passage of scripture Rabbi used the entire weekend to base his teaching out of? It's like, okay, got it. All right, good. I mean, it's just a little encouraging for me to say, we are right where God wants us to be. Little old St. Joe, backside of the desert here, God knows about us and has a plan and a purpose for us. But guess what, folks? There is a battle going on. There was a battle. And man, I'll tell you what, you know, one thing I learned that I don't like this, but the truth is this, there's never going to be any progress without a battle. Don't you hate that? But it's true. Accept it, but here's the thing. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. So yeah, you're going to see increased spiritual opposition. When you step into a new area, guess what? We're stepping into new territory at year three. I'm okay with that. And the opposition that comes with it. It was demonstrated so graphically. You know, I'm having this wonderful mountaintop experience. Woo! You know, I'm flying home. Even the rental car agency only charged me for one day instead of five. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It was like, they had a computer error. I said, that'd be a Jesus computer error right there in my favor. Hallelujah. And then I get on the ground in KC, and I get a text from my beautiful wife. I'm broke down on I-29. 9 o'clock at night, in the dark. The motor went out of our truck. She had to maneuver through 70-mile-an-hour traffic to the roadside, which was so narrow, and these semis whizzing by her at 70 miles an hour. She's stranded alone in the dark. Our primary vehicle is shot. I thought she was playing a cruel practical joke, but she wasn't. Well, the end of the story is God protected her, sent a little angel in a state highway patrol woman who was like a little baby rooster, and she took charge. Got a tow truck there, and Zach came and rescued his mom. And we're without a vehicle now. I said, All right. Temptation to fear. Temptation to just freak out. So you know what I did? I pulled out one of the tools that Rabbi gave me this weekend. And I'm not going to go too deep into this. We'll have to teach on it another session. But this is my talid that I got from the Rabbi. Not only is it my tallit, but he anointed it for me. And you'll see that little spot right there. That's where he anointed it. He anointed it with an oil that they produce from olive trees in Israel. It's called the king's oil. The recipe's taken from Ezekiel chapter 30. So this is like the real stuff. And he connected on this tallit. It has the priest and the king represented, and he connected those two. He said, now, Pastor Tim, God is connecting you and your church with the priestly and the kingly anointing, and resources will be released to expand in the way that you've been dreaming of. He didn't know about that, folks. I didn't tell him about that. So I pulled out my tallit, which, you know, there's nothing magical about this, okay? There's not. This is just a symbol, like communion is a symbol, but it represents something very real, right? This represents something very real. This is the key of David. This is the authority of God. This is why the Jewish people wear this when they pray. Trust me, living there in Israel, I saw this all the time. People at the wailing wall, connecting with God. I don't know why he chooses to work that way. He just does. So when I found out that my truck was not repairable, I got on my tallit. So the authority of God wrapped around my finger with the covering, the authority of God over my head. Guess what? When I wear this, Rabbi says, the devil can't tell the difference between me and Jesus. Come on now. Jesus wore his tallit when he prayed. Jesus is my covering now. I'm not Jewish. I'm a first fruits Gentile, but I am intertwined with a three-stranded cord. And the blessings of Israel, the blessings of those First Nations people are ours. And I just said, you know, thank you, God, for protecting my wife. Because anything could have happened to her on the roadside in the dark. Thank you, God, that you are my provider. That the man is not my source. That stuff is just stuff. And in the name of Jesus, we are covered and protected. And that you will provide for my family everything that we need. Because you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. There's nothing I need that I can't get from you. And no devil in hell can take away from me my position in Jesus. I'm covered, I'm protected, my family is blessed, and we're moving forward in the promises of God. My destiny is sure, and I'm moving on in Jesus' name. And I don't know if it did anybody else any good, but did me a whole lot of good. Just to remember, and you know, what Rabbi does is he puts this over his podium there in at the House of David. And Pastor Roy and Honey have it over their podium as well, there in Browning. And it represents authority. The Word of God is our authority, right? And that's our tallit, that's our covering. In the Scriptures, when it says, "How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob," the actual word is tallit, because they were covered with the authority, the Word of God, the demonstration, the symbol, the tool, because this is a battle that we're in, and you have no chance out from apart from that covering. You've got to remember that moving forward, that that's where your victory lies. The battle, let me tell you some things about the battle. First of all, it's spiritual in nature. So we don't battle against flesh and blood, right? That's what the word tells us. Our enemies are not seen. They're unseen. That's where the battle takes place. That's why prayer is so key. And the second point is you're going to need to armor up, Paul says. Take on the full armor of God. And he lists them all. And I don't have time to teach on that today. I have in the past. Every piece of that armor for a purpose. And every morning we wake up and we just go through the getting ready, the drill, right? And you say, well, you know, what if I forget? Well, you're still covered by the blood. But sometimes I have to remind myself of what I need for success in battle. So I need that helmet of salvation. That's my covering. I need a breastplate of righteousness covering my heart. I need that you know, belt of truth on my hips. You know, I need to have truth be my guard and my keeper. I need that gospel of peace on my feet so that every place I go, the Word of God goes with me. And then I speak peace to the situations and the people that I go. And I bring Jesus with me when I walk. And the peace of God is present so that lives can be changed. And I take my shield of faith that's able to quench every fiery dart of the evil one. And I take my sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. And I say, God, today I'm in battle, but you're my defender. But I'm not ignorant of my enemy. And I go into the battle equipped. The other tool he gives us is, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, in all situations. What does pray in the Spirit mean? It means use that prayer language that God gives when you ask the Holy Spirit to indwell you. He has gifts he gives. One of those gifts is the gift of tongues, and I believe in that gift, and I use it. I have since I was 20 years old. It's not some freaky thing, that's something to be afraid of, but I'm not going to back off of something that the Bible says is real, because it's a tool, it's a weapon. Why would I not want all the weapons that God has for me? You know, here's the deal about praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, it's not your mind praying, it's your spirit praying. So first of all, it bypasses your brain. So your brain might stop you from praying something, and the Spirit's like, I ain't having none of that. I'm going for it, you know. Spirit prays that we don't understand, but God understands. Because it's my spirit praying directly to him. It also confuses the enemy because he can't understand what you're saying, right? He has no clue. It's a powerful weapon that God gives us. And if you don't have that weapon, that tool, that gift, just ask him for it. We'll be glad to pray for you if you desire that gift. But I'm just telling you, God has good gifts to give to his kids. Whether you have it or not doesn't make you a second-class citizen. I'm just saying, open up the funnel. Open up the funnel. And say, pour out on me, God. I want everything you have from me. I'll take it. Whatever it is, give it to me. And he is faithful to do that. The last thing he says is pray for your leaders. And church, I will tell you that I'm just asking and begging. I don't know if that's the right word. I'm imploring you. Pray for your leaders. We need it. You know, how else would I have known to pray Ezekiel 37 without the Spirit of God leading me? How else would I have had the courage to take on my tallit and stand in faith when the enemy had attacked my family like that? We need godly wisdom. We need God's strength. We need protection over me and my household. I'm just asking you, would you take the Apostle Paul's suggestion literally? I know many of you do pray, and I just want to thank you for doing that. This would encourage you in that. And if you haven't started yet, do it. I'm asking you as a gift, a birthday gift for me. There's a battle going on, and Paul gives us this explanation of the battle, and then he does this. At the close of his letter, he says, I'm sending Tychicus to you. Man, I love Tychicus. What a name, first of all. Tychicus is an encourager. He was sent to encourage the saints. We should be encouragers of one another. You know what? We have enough negativity. We have enough criticism. Can we be encouragers of one another in the Lord? Can we be one like Tychicus sent to be an encouragement, a blessing to others? So we are sent, Paul says, with the gifts of peace, love, faith, and grace. Those are our hallmarks. That's what we carry with us. That is our covering. That is our tallit. That is what people need to see when they encounter us. And then they have hope that there might be something for them as well if we get to introduce them. I'll tell you what, the reason why getting in that room is so critical is because we just got to make room for more people. We just have to. This is too good. You wait and see what happens. You know, we're going to be a blessing to First Nations people. Francine and White Buffalo Missions are hosting they're actually putting on a conference. We're hosting it the end of this month, September 29th through October the 2nd. It's called Awakening the Giants. Based on what Billy Graham said, the prophecy he gave, now what, Fran, 30 years ago? Was it in the 60s? Yeah, 1960, so 40 years ago. He said that the Native American is the sleeping giant. And when they awaken, you watch this country turn and change. And we believe what happened in Montana, what Apostle Jay, Rabbi Kurt, what's been happening, what's been building in the spirit is about to break forth. You know, we're going to see it. And we get to host this conference, one of the first of its kind in the nation. We have how many tribes, friend? 9 tribes represented from 5 different states in Canada that will be here Thursday through Sunday. Oh, my goodness. Twofold request. Number one is we're going to need some helpers to host well. What a chance to serve, to get a basin of water and towel and you know, figuratively wash the feet of these brothers and sisters in Christ, because they're coming to us from places that you can't imagine. They need a refreshing. They're coming not just to give. They will give, but we want them to receive as well. So if you can help us with that, certainly come. Certainly get on Facebook and share that invite with everybody so that we get all that God has for us during that time. Okay? That's coming up September 29th through the 2nd. Let me back up. I just tell you that starting next Sunday, September 11th, we're going to begin 21 days of prayer to begin to pray into that conference and also to pray into our new season, right? 21 days of just seeking the Lord. We're going to have sanctuary every Sunday during that time and some other special times of prayer we'll tell you about. One of those Sundays, I believe it's the 2nd Sunday, I don't have the date on me, but we'll be going down to Riverfront Park the 18th to clean up. Right after 2nd service, we'll do lunch on site and then we'll go down to clean up and then have sanctuary at the river. Because I believe that park represents that portal, you know, and I think that that's going to be something significant, a significant piece of what's happening as we learn how to be a blessing to First Nations people. We'll pray through October 2nd, which happens to be the last day of the conference, and the start of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. Literally a new season, a new beginning. The year 5777. Is what's coming up. And that is the year, numerically, the meaning is the year the sword of the Lord moves throughout the whole earth. Wow. That could be really bad news for his enemies. But guess what? It's really good news for his people. Really good news. Because those who know their God will be strong and do exploits in his name. And church, that's our call. That's who we are. I've never been more excited, or said, that's not a good word because that's more emotional. My emotions are touched, but it's my faith that is stirred for where we're at and where God wants to take us. And yes, there are giants in the land. You know what? We crossed over the Jordan River this last weekend. At least figuratively, we're like there in the water. That's what it felt like. We're crossing into something, but we're not on our own.
And I don't know where you're at this morning, what season you feel like you're in, but I would just say God's calling us as a church to get ready, to prepare ourselves, to walk in this new season under the authority, under the blessing, under the covering of His destiny for us. And just as our First Nations brothers and sisters stepped into that cold, icy water, you know, it's a bit of a challenge. It kind of cost them something, right? Some chattering teeth and, you know, some discomfort. And yet, my, what a blessing was released through obedience. And church, you know, I don't always preach a message like I have today. Forgive me for my emotions. Forgive me for, you know, just kind of taking a little liberty. But I think it's important for you to know there's something very, very real taking place. The reason we will be successful as a church is because we've been obedient. We might have to step into some cold, icy water. We might have to serve, as unto the Lord in some times and places that aren't necessarily convenient, but it's what God has asked us to do because Jesus is our master, and we serve a good boss. Amen? And in faith, knowing that He has a plan and a purpose that is bigger, we said in Ephesians chapter 3, bigger than we could ever ask, imagine, or think of. When Rabbi Kurt shared this, what happened in Montana on Friday night at his church, House of David, he said, we had a conference call yesterday. He said, Tim, the weeping began throughout the congregation. He says, we begin to talk about what's happening with First Nations people. He said, a breaking began to start. He said, when I issued an altar call, the entire church responding to the move of God, the invitation to what He's doing. And I would just say to you today, if what I've shared with you touches a chord, whether you understand it or not, would you just stand to your feet with me this morning, and I want to pray over us as a church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm sure I've said some things that challenged you today. Maybe some things that you don't fully understand, and that's okay. I just felt I needed to release it. And there's a lot of stuff I didn't say because it's just not time yet. But we are entering a wonderful season, church. I'll tell you what, these are going to be trying days, challenging days. I mean, this election season, all this is just kind of coming at the same time. It's a confluence of a lot of stuff. But I just want you to know that you don't have to be in fear. You can take courage. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but you can be of good cheer because He overcame the world. His death, His burial, His resurrection was proof that nothing can stop the purposes and plans of God from moving forward. And despite the challenges, despite the we're not sure how this is going to work, you know what? Just hearing Apostle Jay talk about what God wants to do with this building, I'm like, yes, God. Can we just say that to God? Say, yes, God, to all that you have for us. We receive, Father, our destiny that is sure in you. Today we are covered. Today we are blessed to be wrapped up in your purposes. Thank you for including me. Thank you for including this church. Thank you for including St. Joseph in your great plan. And Lord, I pray as the head of this household, Lord, I pray a blessing over every family. I cover them with your talid, Lord. I cover them with your protection, your provision, Lord. Father, I pray that every physical need in this house, every body that's suffering in sickness, God, would receive a touch today. Father, we don't have to lay hands on. Your Spirit is able to move among us, Lord, and to see captives set free from generational strongholds. As we went into that immersion water, knowing, God, that all of the lineage from the past, the things that the enemy can accuse us with because of our bloodline, was severed, and a new day began. Lord, so let this third anniversary be a new beginning for Restoration Church and every person who is a part of it. Thank you, God, for being such a good Father. We gratefully submit to your leadership and your authority, Jesus. And we say, under your covering, under the shadow of your wings, we will move forward with the grace and the beauty of the Lord as our shield and as our covering. Lord, I pray even our very faces would shine as Moses did with the glory of the Lord having spent time in your presence. And God, thank you that the days ahead of us are greater than the days behind us, that greater things are yet to be seen, Lord. We walk in ways and steps ordained by the Lord. And Father, Holy Spirit, we just yield to whatever you want to do. We say yes and amen to all that's in your heart. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. Thank God for the good stuff he's up to. I love it.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.